Hello and welcome back to the Young Hollywood Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Gomez, and as the intro music suggested, we are now into what is called spooky season. So, in this episode, I thought it'd be fun to talk to you guys about my journey with horror. How I went from being someone who was completely terrified of it to someone who is still terrified of it, but can't help but love it. So, if that's something that interests you, as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Thank you. Hello guys, and welcome back to the podcast, episode 44. It is time to discuss my journey with horror films. Now, let me just start off by saying that for the longest time, and by longest time I mean from the time I was born to about, I want to say, sophomore or junior year in high school, I absolutely hated scary movies. I did not like being scared by any means. It didn't matter how, it didn't matter what it was, I just did not like anything horror related. But for some reason, I was always pulled to it. Even though I knew it would terrify me, there was something about it that I just could not help but either watch or listen. My journey with it often started like the genre itself. I began by watching the Universal horror films from the 30s all the way up to, I believe, the mid-50s. And I started with Bela Lugosi's Dracula, Frankenstein, The Wolfman, all those types of films.
I am Dracula.
And while by today's standards they're by no means scarier than what's coming out today, I still found them to be quite creepy sometimes, especially Dracula, given that the movie up until, I believe, the late 90s when they re-released it, there's no soundtrack, so you're just forced to listen to the creepy sounds of Dracula's decaying castle, of bats shrieking in the distance. And when you watch these movies in a very dark living room, pitch black, in the middle of the night, they take on a whole new form. I would go on to watch these movies from the time I was 9 or 10 all the way up to about, I want to say, 11 or 12. And then that's about as far as I would go when it came to that type of stuff, because I thought that, oh, it's old, so it won't be too scary, but I'll still be able to enjoy it. So I was able to watch all those Universal films, as well as the Vincent Price films, The Fly, The House on Haunted Hill, all that kind of stuff. Then I want to say around 8th grade was when I finally started to branch off a little bit, and that was when I watched the original Nightmare on Elm Street in its entirety. Now, I had seen it before because my dad had played it for me and my best friend at a sleepover for my birthday, and I was too much of a wuss and I couldn't finish it, even though all the rest of my friends wanted to. So, I mean, I was, looking back, I find it pretty funny because when I watched it later, yeah, I was still scared at some points, but I had fun watching that movie and I very much enjoyed it. And while I had watched many other horror films up until that point, it wasn't until sophomore year that one horror film would change my entire perception on the genre.
Halloween. Newsweek magazine calls it a superb exercise in the art of suspense, the most frightening flick in years. Halloween. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's so scary, I would compare it to Psycho. It's the kind of picture, says the Chicago Tribune, that forces you to sleep with the lights on. A masterpiece, says New York's New Times. Halloween, from Compass International, rated R.
Yes, it would be Halloween that would forever change my perception on horror and the whole entire genre itself, as this was one that really got to me. Mainly due to one of its biggest strengths, that being the simplicity of the story. An escaped mental patient returns to his hometown to cause further problems, and he eventually ends up stalking a group of babysitters. There was just something very, very creepy and felt very real about this random guy just deciding to watch these people as they live their lives in just this small town. And the way the film is shot, it's done in such a way that, like, you really feel like the town of Haddonfield is this small community that has no idea that it's about to be terrorized by this masked boogeyman. And it was because of things like this that I was able to realize, okay, it's not all just about scares. Like, there's some substance here. Like, there's stuff beneath the surface, like, that I've never noticed before. So I'm like, you know what? I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is actually really good. So much to the point where never in a million years would I have thought that I'd have a horror film in one of my top five, or not top five, top 10 greatest or favorite films of all time. I never in a million years, if you were to ask me that, or even tell me that, like 5-10 years ago, I wouldn't believe you. But surely enough, this film definitely surprised me, and it's one that I'm definitely going to go into greater detail about, and it's one that I have gone into detail about, but we'll be talking more about that once we near the release of the new film in the franchise, Halloween Kills. As my love for the Halloween franchise grew, so did my taste in the horror genre, but primarily the genre that I always keep coming back to is the slasher genre, because that tends to be for the same reason that I love Halloween. Slasher just seems to be the simplest of the genre. You have a killer or killers stalking a group of people, and they try to make it out alive. I don't know. There's just something very, I don't know. It seems more of like a fun type of scary movie, as crazy as that sounds. But I think it's because that genre is just the one that always people assume that every scary movie is a slasher film, mainly because all the tropes and cliches that come with the genre come from the slasher subgenre. The car won't start. If you do any bad activities, if you drink, if you do drugs, if you have sex, you die. Like, those types of things. So, I don't know. I always, once I got past Halloween, I then did my research and realized that Halloween sparked almost like a renaissance in the horror genre. As once you get Halloween, you get Friday the 13th, you get Nightmare on Elm Street, you get all the major slashers of the 80s until they play out into the 90s, and then you have Scream totally revive the genre and repeat what Halloween did to a much greater success. But it's not all just owed to Halloween, though. There are three films in particular that kind of help lay the groundwork that Halloween would solidify. You have Psycho, 1960, by Alfred Hitchcock. And then you have two films in 1974. Black Christmas, which Halloween would take great inspiration from, by the POV shots, single location, and the fact that it's centered around a holiday. But the next film that we are about to talk about has a much greater effect on the genre as a whole, and had a very bit large effect on me and how I looked at horror films, and just how much it affected me all the way up to my later teen years.
This is the movie that Rex Reed called the most horrifying motion picture I have ever seen. This film is positively ruthless in its attempt to drive you right out of your mind. This is the horror movie to end them all. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, from New Line Cinema, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent or guardian.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre was released by Tobe Hooper in 1974 and consists of a story of five kids two of them being brother and sister, going out to investigate the local grave robberies that have been going on in the area, and one of them being, in fact, their grandfather. Along the way, they stumble upon some old childhood memories, particularly their grandmother's home that they would spend time in. And along the way, they happen to pick up a deranged hitchhiker, whom they eventually get out of their vehicle and swiftly drive away, but it leaves a lasting psychological effect on the characters, and as the film goes on, they unfortunately stop. Their car unfortunately stops in the middle of Texas, and they unfortunately cross paths with the chainsaw-wielding Leatherface and his cannibalistic family of once proud slaughterhouse workers. Now, this film is loosely based, much like Psycho, off the real-life crimes of Ed Gein. Now, if you don't know who Ed Gein is, go ahead and do some background research, but he served as the template for Norman Bates, for Leatherface, for Buffalo Bill in The Silence of the Lambs. Now, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was the first horror film I ever saw, and much like everything else that I watched, it was completely by accident. I remember very vividly, I was like about 3 or 4 at the time, and I accidentally walked in on my mom watching the part. And it's the scene where this girl is trying to escape the house, and Leatherface just comes out of this sliding door and just charges at her, grabs her, and takes her back into the house. Now, that's all I saw. I was probably in that room for about 30 seconds before I quickly got out, but it had such this lasting effect on me that I wasn't able to shake it, and I was so afraid to watch the movie that I didn't watch it until my junior year of high school when I was about 17. It affected me that bad. Now, what surprises me about that film the most is, and as many other people have claimed in various podcasts, documentaries, etc., have just stated how, despite its seemingly like graphic title, there's very little blood and gore. All the violence is implied, and only one of them actually happens by chainsaw. But I always just found that funny, because people always walked out of the theater saying that, oh, I just watched all these gruesome things, and then you go back, you didn't see all that. Those. The film laid the groundwork. Your mind just kind of filled in the cracks a little bit. And it just proves the theory that, like, what you think is more terrifying than what you can actually see. And Halloween did this to great effect, I think. And that's one of its biggest strengths. And I think a lot of people don't appreciate it as much, because we're so used to just seeing everything up front. And a lot of these movies get a lot of crap because of their cliches. But they have to understand that cliches started somewhere. And these are the films that started it, and Halloween solidified it. So, I mean, you gotta owe it to it, because without the success of these films, we wouldn't have the type of horror films that we're seeing today. And a lot of people fear, this isn't just for horror, but this is for a lot of film genres, that there's a lack of originality going on throughout Hollywood, as everybody wants to reboot or remake something, or in the case of Marvel has been so successful that everyone wants to have a interconnected cinematic universe of their own. Universal tried to do it with their monsters. I believe, like, even Fast and Furious and stuff was trying to start stuff like that. DC has notoriously tried it and is still trying to find their footing, but a lot of people don't understand that, yeah, you're going to be seeing a lot of recycled material. There's probably going to be some things that have already been done before. But it's not just what the idea is. It's if you put your own unique spin on an already done idea, you can make it new and fresh again. The greatest example being Scream, having taken what at the time was a dead genre and just completely reinvented it and did something new with it, that we're still seeing the effects of it. And much like Halloween, we're going to be talking about Scream since this year marks the 25th anniversary. So that is another horror film that I will greatly go into more detail about later this month. As you guessed it, is going to be all about horror films and just everything about it. My journey with them, some of my favorites, the type of horror films that I want to make, and I'm hoping to get a guest or some guests on the podcast this month to share ideas with and stuff and help promote some stuff. So I don't know, more of that to come. But as soon as I hit junior year, so it was like just about to turn 17, I just experienced this, just my own little horror movie renaissance, as when late September, October rolled around, that's what we're watching. We're finding every classic that we can, every big one that I've ever heard of, and we're just sitting down, we're getting over our fears, and we're just watching it, and we're just seeing what we like and what we don't like. And while I did like Halloween as a kid, as my birthday happens to be in October, so I've always kind of found it a little bit special, especially in more recent years as I've grown to love scary things a little more, is that it's sort of like my season. Like, I get to celebrate my birthday and Halloween, since they're so close, and make it fun and make it mine. So October is a very special time of year for me. I also like to mark it as the beginning of the holiday season. But anyways, getting a little sidetracked. It was everything. I was watching all the Friday the 13ths. Okay, I finished all the Friday the 13ths. Now I gotta watch all the Nightmare on Elm Streets. I gotta watch all the Halloweens. I gotta do all of this. And it got to the point where the following year, after I watched Halloween for the first time, I got myself so pumped for Halloween 2018. And so much to the point where for a good chunk of high school, I was pegged as Michael Myers. Mainly, which I... it kind of got a little annoying, but then again, I did it to myself because that was pretty much what I wanted to watch, because that was the type of movie that I wanted to make, was a Halloween fan film, and it was funny. And then it'd get bad to the point where people would say, I remember in particular this one assignment in one of my classes where we had to write something positive about our classmates. Like, we all had to go around on someone's piece of paper and write one positive thing about them, and somebody wrote that I loved Mike Myers. Now, like, while it is for Michael Myers, people, that could be read as I like Mike Myers, the actor of the Austin Powers series and the guy who does the voice of Shrek. So I was just like, no, people are just going to see that and think that I like Mike Myers. And I just remember finding that very funny. And it was just, yeah. And it was fun, especially because the high school that I went to, it was one of the first times that, like, we were ever allowed to, like, dress up for Halloween and go to school. So I just remember dressing up as Michael Myers and just having a ton of fun, scaring classmates and going around and just walking around creeping people out. It was just very fun. And yeah, I have good memories about that. And I just remember hyping myself up so much for this movie, because by the time it came out, I had seen most of the Halloween films. I think the only ones I needed to watch at that point were Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 and Halloween Resurrection, which ironically are considered the worst of the whole franchise. But around that time, I had formed my own opinions on what I liked and what I didn't like, and I just liked how this was a brand new take. I liked how it did everything that I wanted it to. It completely wiped the slate clean and only acknowledged the events of the first film. It cut off the brother-sister relationship between Michael and Laurie, which I didn't like, because I liked John Carpenter's original intent of the character, that he was just supposed to be this force of nature. He wasn't exactly man, but he wasn't exactly supernatural either. He was in this very weird gray area. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And it's even stated in the script that he's not even call Michael Myers in the script, he's referred to as the Shape. So I always found that pretty creepy and very creative. My love for the genre just kept growing and growing. I remember coming home late because I remember I would go to tutoring after school, and I remember it was just around the time of year that it started to get darker earlier, so I just remember being very creeped out about walking home in the dark from the bus stop and just like going into my house to watch another scary movie, or thinking about the scary movie that I watched the night before and freaking myself out as I'm walking home down a dark street in my neighborhood. And that was when my imagination got to play, and I really liked it. And it was to the point where I just thought of little horror stories. Now, they weren't exactly scripts, but they were definitely like, oh, this would be like a cool story if someone made this, or if I made it, or something like that. But like I was saying, my love for the genre just kept growing. This was also the same time that I saw Psycho for the first time, and I really enjoyed it. And then after that, I went down a Alfred Hitchcock rabbit hole, and I watched Vertigo and Rear Window. And just recently, I just finished North by Northwest. And I know that he's got tons of other films, because his filmography stretches all the way back to the silent era in the 20s, so it's just insane. There's a lot of films that I have to get through. Funny enough, Hitchcock often remade his own films, which I always found very funny and very creative. But let's see. Now, while I do have my likes for the genre, I also have my dislikes. In particular, I'm not a fan. I'm not too big on like supernatural horror movies and stuff like that, mainly because I believe in that type of crap, and I don't know, I just don't want to scare myself too much. That's why I'm still afraid to see The Exorcist. I know, one of the greatest horror films of all time. Still terrified to see it. I will get around to watching it one day, probably this year, but I don't know, it's going to take a lot for me to watch it and find the courage. Same thing with the Conjuring movies, I just don't do those. But A Story About a Guy in a Rubber Mask Chasing a Bunch of Teenagers, I can watch that all day long. I have no problem with it. But yeah, but there's really not much that I don't like. I don't like the extremely like supernatural, like disturbing movies. I don't like any of like the Saw movies, or really anything that has to do with torture or anything like that. I mean, obviously, but I don't know. When it comes to horror, I have a very niche taste. I think I'm using that correctly, but yeah, it's slasher films are just my bread and butter, and I happen to like those. I very much like suspense. I do like zombie movies. I'm slowly getting around to watching some of the classics. I've seen Night of the Living Dead, but I need to get around to watching Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, all those. And then I've been watching like little clips here and there, like with my mom, of The Walking Dead. So maybe I'll get into that one of these days. But the reason why I haven't is because it's just such a giant can of worms, and it's such a big show that I don't know if I could really devote myself to watching a TV show, because TV shows are harder for me to get into as opposed to movies. I don't know why, but that's just how it's been for me. Nah, but I always find this very funny, that this was the genre that I dislike the most, yet this is the genre that's influenced me the most as when it came to writing and even making short films. Like, even though I've only made two, it's been the Twilight Zone, so I definitely had a little bit of some horror influences, as well as my other short film that I made around this time last year, called The Watchful Eye, which is very much a suspenseful, not really a slasher, since it's only one person, or one victim, and I just kind of wanted to toy with the idea of doing suspense, and showing very little, and showing a lot with very little, is what I should say. But no, a lot of my earliest work isn't influenced by horror, which I never in a million years would have thought that that would have been the case, but it still continues to influence me. It's one of my it's one of my favorite genres now. They're the types of films that I want to make for a little bit. And I'm definitely willing to share some horror stories of my own pretty soon. I'm getting ready to work on a project within the coming weeks, and I'm hoping to release it sometime either on or around Halloween. So that should be very fun. I'll keep you guys posted on it as the episodes go this month. But yeah, that's about it. Thank you guys so much for listening, as always. I want to keep this brief, even though it's a very long history with me in this genre. That's why I kind of wanted to use this one, is just to kind of give you guys a brief overview, and then as the episodes go this month, I will go into greater detail about some of my favorites and why I particularly like them. But as always, thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Take care.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits by a movie? Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year. Halloween, the night three teenage girls discover the real trick is to stay alive.
Tommy, it's me!
Halloween, the night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.